Good morning, Mr. O'Donnell.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Earl O'Donnell. I'm appearing today on behalf of the petitioners in this case. The order, which is on appeal before you today, grants the request of Tres Amigas for negotiated rate authority as opposed to cost-based rates for the sale of transmission services over its proposed superstation. Tres Amigas proposes to build what it refers to as a superstation in eastern New Mexico. FERC has found that superstation would allow for the first time substantial quantities of power to move between the three major U.S. Interconnection or grids, the Eastern Interconnection, the Western Electric Coordinating Council, or WECC, and the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, which we refer to as ERCOT. But unlike every other merchant transmission project that has been proposed to FERC, this one Tres Amigas does not propose to build facilities that would actually be necessary to deliver power or receive power from the grid. The superstation is, in fact, an island in eastern New Mexico unless and until other entities, the utilities in the area, build the connecting lines to the project. The issue on appeal is whether the order issued by FERC is consistent with the policy that FERC adopted in the Chinook case. Petitioners contend that it fails in two principal regards. First, the Chinook proceeding applied to merchant transmission projects, and it required that merchant transmission projects bear the full market risk for the cost of constructing a transmission project. In return for meeting their criteria, applicants receive a valuable right. They are able to sell services over their transmission facilities at prices that are above the traditional cost-based rate. Tres Amigas fails to satisfy that essential criteria in that it doesn't propose to build a transmission project.
Well, is it accurate to say that Tres Amigas is actually different? This idea of a superstation is something that hasn't been done before.
That is correct, Your Honor. The idea of a superstation itself isn't offensive to the Chinook policy. It's the failure to put it in, to make it a part of an integrated transmission project which could actually obtain power from the grid and redeliver it to the grid. That's the essence of a transmission project. This fails the essential gateway to the Chinook policy in that they do not propose to build those facilities. They do not propose to bear the full market risk of those costs. Rather, they attempt to, and FERC allows them to shift it to other entities, ultimately the captive customers such as those that I represent. Secondly, we believe that the order fails to impose meaningful conditions on Tres Amigas' market power such that it will be able to charge in excess of a just and reasonable rate.
Are you going to address standing, or are you going to wait till all the...
Your Honor, I was about ready to turn to it. Okay. That's all right. To begin with, on the standing issue, Tres Amigas has said two things that go directly to the issue of standing. One, it says it cannot proceed to develop this project unless it obtains negotiated rates. That's what these orders allow it to do. Secondly, it says it cannot proceed unless neighboring utilities build and pay for the lines that are necessary to transform the superstation into a transmission project. With that in mind, Your Honor, we addressed in the affidavit submitted by Mr. Payton Occidental's pervasive and significant role in the energy markets in the affected regions. It's a purchaser of power. It's a seller of power. It pays for transmission as part of its rates. We explained in the affidavit how the petitioners would be injured unless the orders are overturned in their capacity as a competitor.
But Mr. Payton acknowledges that there are further steps that need to be taken.
Right. Your Honor, I think it is true that every project, every merchant transmission project, indeed projects of any size, do need to go through a development process in which they need to obtain permits, they need to obtain various contracts. This company is actively pursuing the development of its project. It is going through that process.
So it's a can't-fail project?
No, Your Honor. There are no guarantees in life, and we are not suggesting that it can't fail.
So until Tres Amigas enters into some agreement with someone to build a connecting line, there's no certainty, and the various approvals necessary for that, there's no certainty that this project will get off the ground, is there?
Your Honor, if you...
In other words, what I'm getting at is the notion that your client may understand and those in the region may understand that this is a done deal, and it's just a matter of working out the details of the various agreements, because what Tres Amigas is offering is something that's probably going to be fairly attractive to others. But from the court's point of view, in terms of standing, have you shown enough at this point to show an injury, much less some of the others?
Your Honor, you won't be surprised to say to hear me say that I think we have shown enough. We are the intervener in the case below. We are not Tres Amigas and can't speak specifically to what they have done. But what we can rely on is what the record shows has been proceeding and what the record doesn't show. What the record shows is that Tres Amigas has expressions of interest from three utilities, one from each of the respective grids expressing willingness.
But we don't have any evidence that there's an agreement.
We do know that Tres Amigas, they published this on their website, has said that it has entered into negotiations with two of those entities to develop an interconnection agreement. That's the agreement that would actually lead to the construction of these facilities. And we know that...
I'm sorry, could those facilities who have expressed an interest, could they actually proceed without FERC approval?
Well, Your Honor, they would proceed based upon... They don't need FERC approval to construct the lines. What they do need would be the regional authority, SPP in the Eastern Interconnection, ERCOT, and others, approval to go forward. But those entities, these regional planning authorities, are not in charge of stopping transmission. They're in charge of trying to facilitate the safe interconnection of projects and the growth of the grid. We do know also from Tres Amigas that the reliability study is underway in the SPP. We know that Tres Amigas is actually expending money to continue to develop its project, despite the fact that it has said it cannot proceed to develop it unless the connecting facilities are built. Every piece, every shred of evidence in this case stands for the proposition that it is going through the ordinary course process of building a project. It is true at this stage that the project is not yet built. But, Your Honor, I'm not aware of any case which has required that, because if it did, there could never be an appeal by a party attacking FERC's orders on these grounds, because the FERC order is the earliest in the process. It's one of the first things you get. You have to file under the Federal Power Act within 60 days of the date of the order on rehearing. These are multi-year process. What we would suggest to Your Honor respectfully is that everything that needs to be done is being done. No significant obstacle has been identified. The FERC has not provided in its brief any information that says that there is something which would prevent this project to proceed. It is the process.
You have to act within 60 days. You have to act within 60 days, but that would apply where you can show standing, right?
Well, Your Honor, if we were to come back later and say, okay, at this point, the project is online and...
Suppose an agreement is signed, this regional entity has given its approval on safety, et cetera.
Your Honor, at that point, we would face the daunting task of trying to excuse our failure to have filed within 60 days of the date of the order that issued conclusive determinations on two issues. There may be other issues that come down the road, but two issues have been finally and conclusively determined. One is that Tres Amigas is authorized, we think contrary to law, authorized to shift the risk of these connecting lines to somebody else. Second, it has found that Tres Amigas has satisfied its burden of proof of showing that it has mitigated its market power. Were we to challenge that at some later time, the argument would be you're out of time, it's a collateral attack on a prior order, and you simply have no basis for proceeding. We are in a catch-22 if the requirement is that we can only appeal after something more is done, because at that point we will be too late to appeal. Under the circumstances of this case, we're here at the only time we can be here with all the facts, demonstrating a project moving forward, and not a single piece of evidence suggesting that the project cannot proceed.
All right.
With respect to the merits, unless there's a further question about standing, raise two particular issues on the merits. First is that the project, as I said before, fails the core gating question when it comes to the Chinook policy or negotiated rate provisions. It isn't a transmission project. They don't propose to build a transmission project. They propose to build a part of it. But the Chinook standard says they must bear the full market risk for the cost of constructing a particular transmission project. It doesn't meet, and no one contends that it does, the definition of a transmission project. The consequences are not only that it fails a core element of Chinook, but the result is to turn the Chinook standard around from something in which the Tres Amigas is expected to bear the cost and recover from transmission service customers, its customers, enough revenues to cover it, to where it bears a portion of the cost, perhaps $1 billion or less of the true cost of building this project. Revenues remain the same, costs go down, very handsome returns, obviously advantageous to them. What it isn't advantageous to are to the captive customers who wonder the tariffs that are currently in effect that have been found to be just and reasonable. There's no further action necessary here. These tariffs provide that those costs would be spread among all customers in ERCOT and in the SPP, and we are very substantial customers in both regions.
So just explain to me, if you will, FERC has approved this project in the sense of going forward with negotiated rates.
That's correct.
What does that mean practically? I mean, they have to come back to FERC at some point, don't they?
There'll be some pieces, not that it goes to negotiated rate, but FERC says when and if you enter into an anchor tenant, there's no requirement that you enter into an anchor tenant contract, but if you do, you have to bring that back. You have to give us a report on the open season. Those sort of things.
As to the rates themselves, is there no further review?
Your Honor, the rates, the just and reasonable rates, have already been approved by FERC via the SPP, Southwest Power Pool tariff, and that decrees that these costs will be borne by the customers, the retail customers, throughout the SPP region. That is a binding, lawful order. There's nothing more that's needed. With respect to the defenses that the FERC has raised for this material departure, in our view, from the Chinook policy, they basically say several things. One is, well, those lines will only be funded by the utilities and their captive customers if the utilities voluntarily agree to build those lines. Second, they say the customers will only pay a just and reasonable rate for, in effect, their investment in the form of the rates that they pay. As to both of those issues, we turn back to the words of Chinook: full market risk for the cost of constructing a particular transmission project. They have failed to live up to their obligations in return for this this right, not because I say it's so, it's because the FERC has said that that is the standard. And the fact that the customers may or may not pay a just and reasonable rate, let's assume they do, for these investments bypasses the central flaw. They shouldn't be paying for any of this. It isn't their risk. It's somebody else's risk, and that somebody else is Tres Amigas. FERC then says, and I think this is one of the most perplexing, if not disturbing, part of the order is that, well, we're only concerned really with Tres Amigas' captive customers, if any, not the captive customers of any of the connecting utilities. Your Honor, from the very first, the TransEnergy case, the very first case in this series of merchant transmission projects, the FERC had said in that case that the project would not cause customers in any market, captive customers in any market, to bear cost or risk. The Chinook policy carries that forward. It is not enough to say that the FERC can ignore the customers the Federal Power Act charges it to protect by focusing only on whether Tres Amigas has captive customers. Lastly, they say, well, you know, all they're asking the connecting utilities to backstop by the captive customers to do is to bear the is to mitigate the risk, much in the same way that a transmission service customer would bear. Well, a transmission service customer is somebody who submits a bid or enters into contract to buy service on the superstation itself. A connecting line does not give the utility the right to take service on the superstation. Moreover, the transmission service customers are the entities that FERC policy says should bear these costs. The captive customers are the ones that should not bear the cost. It completely obliterates the vital distinction in the Act and in the Chinook policy. On market power, I would just simply say very briefly that our concern is that the alternatives, the long-term mitigation measures that they adopted simply do not provide practical alternatives to someone who wishes to purchase over the transmission, over the superstation. Most notably, to take one, it's the key consideration. That's the word, first word, the key consideration for that underlies their conclusion that Tres Amigas will not be able to bear exercise market power is that Tres Amigas has agreed that once the 5 gigawatts of capacity, which consists of their initial phase of the project, is exhausted, then they will offer cost-based rates. But 5 gigawatts, Your Honor, is a massive amount of power. They say it would power 2.5 million homes. It's far in excess of the total sum of the capacity of all the ties that currently connect these three grids. It's an enormous amount. There is the person who is seeking some portion of that 5 gigawatts does not have the alternative of a cost-based rate. It's a phantom form of protection because it's not available to the people who would be purchasing under the first phase of the project, which may be the only phase of the project. And in that sense, the gas cases, natural gas cases that they rely on, demonstrate the fallacy of this approach because in those cases, such as the Iberdrola case, which came before this court, the customer had the choice of buying expansion capacity on a pipeline at a market rate or for the very same capacity was entitled to purchase at a cost-based rate. There was an alternative for the very capacity which was being marketed at that moment. Not so with this condition, and not so we submit with any of the others.
All right.
Your Honor, if there are no other questions, I will sit down.
I'll give you a couple minutes.
Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Hammerkail?
May it please the Court, Jennifer Hammerkail for the Commission. I'll start by addressing some of the standing questions. Judge Rogers, you asked about whether expressions of interest in building the connecting lines is enough, and we submit that it is not. There are interconnection agreements being negotiated right now, but those interconnection agreements, we don't know whether they're going to allocate the cost to the franchise utilities that are going to be building those. We don't actually know whether another merchant will come in and build a connection to, instead of a franchise utility, to the project. So there's one area of assumption that takes this beyond the normal case of a project that needs another permit to start operating. This project.
So, following up on my question, once there is an agreement, would a petition be untimely?
Once there is an agreement that rolls in the cost of that a franchise utility builds the line, that rolls in the cost, that gets the regulatory approvals to roll in that cost, then the captive customer of that franchise utility can seek review of the prudence of building that line.
So that petition could reach back to the order now being challenged? That's what I need to understand, in your view.
In terms of the injury of captive customers, they would have
The hypothetical, as I understand it, is that, you know, we go forward, agreements are entered, approvals are obtained, and then it's as clear as can be that Occidental, as a captive customer on one of these lines, will have to pay a portion of the construction costs of these connecting transmission lines. So they come in and file a petition. Is it timely?
Well, we would disagree that it's clear as can be that they will have to pay these costs.
No, my hypothetical is it is clear.
Okay.
All right.
So your hypothetical is that it's clear, and they're paying the costs that were incurred on behalf of the franchise utility in building the connecting line. And their harm is in those extra costs, correct? So they would have the ability to challenge the roll-in to the rates of those extra costs.
But not the approval of...
Well, they wouldn't in that instance be harmed, Your Honor, by the Tres Amigas project.
I think the question, because I have this question too, is Mr. O'Donnell says this is a catch-22. Once FERC makes this decision, issues this order, if we can't challenge it now, we can never challenge it. So the whole issue of, one, negotiated rates, and second, the idea that you can build this island, which connects to nothing, is resolved for all time, right? And they can never go back to that. They can complain about the rates down the road, but they can't go back to that. Is that correct?
We're not arguing that no customer could come in here or no party could come in here and the court find that they have standing in this. But it's this factual situation.
Well, I mean, maybe they have injury, but what he's saying is the challenge to that order would not be timely. And I'm just trying to find out if he's correct about that.
The injury that they're challenging would be timely if they're challenging the roll-in of costs to captive customers. If it's the competitive issue injury, I think that it's possible that a competitor could come in here and get standing in a negotiated rates, even with a superstation that wasn't connected to the grid. But on these facts, they haven't proven that they haven't met that heightened standard to prove that.
So FERC's position would be that Occidental can't be injured by the order that they have issued saying Tres Amigas can go ahead, right? In other words, that putting this process into action can never be an injury.
Yes, for their first two injuries that they claim, for the customer paying excessive rates on Tres Amigas system, that third injury, I think you need to, I can envision a customer being able to have standing in that situation.
Can I ask you, who could challenge what FERC has done here?
Who could challenge this?
Yeah, what entity, who would be able to say, I think that FERC was wrong in approving this?
I believe that a customer that actually was planning to take service on Tres Amigas and didn't want the project to go under and to fail, that they could come in and make a showing that they were injured or that they would be injured and that the rates need to be modified. But here, that's not what Occidental is arguing. Occidental is arguing on redress for their customer paying excessive rates injury. They're arguing that the redress is to vacate the orders and then the project fails. And we agree that the record shows that without negotiated rates, Tres Amigas will not come to fruition. So if you had a customer that had met the requirement, had shown the evidence that they really did want to be a customer of Tres Amigas, but the rates were excessive and they had modifications that they wanted to those rates, then that customer would have standing. But that's not the case here. They haven't shown that because they have, in their initial brief, the statement was redress is available if this court vacates the orders. And we know that if this court vacates the orders, negotiated rates are withdrawn from Tres Amigas, and the project goes away, so no customer would ever get service on the project.
So the order is not challengeable? You no. said a customer planning to take service.
Potential.
I mean, that's way down the road, isn't it?
No, a customer that argued before the commission that the rates would be excessive.
Who is this customer? Just identify it other than by the word customer.
A entity that seeks in the future to take transmission service across the Tres Amigas system. And that entity would need to come in here and argue that they want service, but that the rates are going to be excessive. And in terms of redress, they would need to ask for modification, like the environmental action case.
And the argument that rates are excessive would be upon a showing, at least in part, that FERC's approval of negotiated rates contributed to the end result of an excessive rate?
Yes, that the commission didn't condition the negotiated rates sufficiently. Mm-hmm. In the open season would seem to be sort of a logical area of where a customer that would have standing would make such a showing. And on the merits, the Chinook policy is flexible enough to handle this type of transmission project, and it is a transmission project that proposes to build transmission lines.
Just dropping out one of the elements.
It doesn't propose to connect to the existing grid. That's correct, Your Honor. But Chinook was deliberately reformation of the test so that the commission could be flexible in addressing the needs to bring this new transmission to market.
Just to make sure that I understand what you said earlier, if a customer went through this open season process or the auction or whatever and felt that that did not go well, didn't have the effect that FERC had anticipated, you're saying that such a customer would be able to go back and challenge the order itself, even though presumably that would be beyond 60 days?
Well, there's two issues there, Your Honor. First of all, the customers are able to challenge the open season process because that filing has not come in yet. So that would be another avenue for Occidental or any real potential customer that wants to take service across the transmission superstation to come in and to argue that the open season wasn't just unreasonable. But in terms of this particular order, challenging this grant of negotiated rates, which is subject to several future proceedings, including a requirement that Tres Amigas file an open access transmission tariff and specify the terms and conditions of those rates of the access to the system. So to answer that other part of the question, a customer could could say that these orders were not sufficient in providing restrictions on the open season. Too much capacity was being allocated potentially to an anchor customer. There are times when there are future proceedings in which the customer would be able to challenge those decisions because those decisions aren't final before FERC, but that customer could also come in and challenge this order here and say that the rates would be excessive. We want service over the superstation, but these orders are not going to make the rates just and reasonable. In that case, which is not the case here because Occidental does not want service over the superstation, they specifically said that the redress is to vacate the orders. But in the opposite situation, yes, that kind of a customer would have standing. I see that I'm over my time. Are there any other further questions on the merits?
No, I just wanted on the merits as to whether or not there were sufficient limitations. One of the arguments made was that some of the alternatives that were posited by FERC were in fact not real alternatives.
Well, some of the alternatives, we won't know whether it's actually a prediction that FERC is making that those alternatives will come to fruition. And FERC's, these kinds of predictions, especially about the secondary market and also about the new ties, those types of predictions are due deference by this court. We don't know for sure whether those alternatives will come into being. But at least on the secondary market, Occidental will have a second bite at the apple when the open season report comes in to argue that there weren't enough long-term rights. So it has another opportunity to challenge the alternatives that FERC relies on to grant the negotiated rates.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. O'Donnell, why don't you take 2 minutes?
Thank you, Your Honor. I think that the answers you've heard confirm the dilemma in which we found ourselves. There will be, undoubtedly, once this project moves forward, other filings. We can address the issues that are posed in those filings, but what we cannot address are the core holdings in these orders. The ones that shifts the market risk from Tres Amigas to others, and the findings as to market power. Our position, these are final legal determinations that have important bearing on our interest and which injure us, and whatever we may be able to do in those later cases, we will not be able ever to challenge those elements of the order. That is the dilemma that I described, the catch-22. Every aspect of this has been that we could find has been brought to the court's attention. There's simply nothing standing in the way of completion of the project, but on the other hand, it's not guaranteed. There are some steps to be taken.
But under the statute, isn't your only interest that you not be charged rates other than rates that are fair and
No, Your Honor, we're also competitors in the wholesale market, and I wanted to add a correction or correct counsel on one issue. She said that Occidental has no interest in being a customer of Tres Amigas. It's not true, Your Honor. In the Payton affidavit, paragraph 26, we specifically stated, Mr. Payton did, that like any potential customer, we are interested because it could be cost-effective to the competitive arms and the retail arms to take service on this line, but there has been no open season.
But I'm getting back. I mean, the statute is talking about just and reasonable rates, no undue discrimination. That's FERC's bailiwick, and isn't that the limit of the protection to which you're entitled?
Your Honor, once FERC adopted the Chinook policy and said that it would apply it, FERC has exercised its discretion and has exercised its flexibility. Now what it needs to do, we respectfully submit, is to comply with the standard it articulated. It may change it later on, But at this point, the standard is full market risk.
Well, the agency says our Chinook policy had certain goals in mind, and it's sufficiently flexible that, you know, we can drop out one element that's been in existence because now this entity has come forward with a different, slightly different approach based on technological advances. And, you know, in our judgment, this should go forward.
Your Honor, the agency actually went through a 10-year process to come up with the four criteria in Chinook. They said this is the criteria we're applying. In the order below, they did not make the argument that they weren't bound by Chinook. They simply said that this meets the standard of Chinook. Therein lies the legal error in this case. Having adopted a standard, you must abide by it and must be reasoned determination to show you do it. Failing to do so, in our view, requires reversal, which allows them on remand to take the action you're describing, but not to defend the decision today. Unless there are any other questions, I thank you for your courtesy.
Thank you.